You know, some people think that I tell my story to get praise or to, you know, be on the news or be on shows like this. And you don't realize how difficult it is to become so vulnerable and to open your family up to that scrutiny. But I know how important it is, because when a news segment airs, I get hundreds and sometimes thousands of comments and messages and people who are suffering in silence. And they tell me how much inspiration they get. And so I don't want my struggles and everything that I've suffered to be in vain. Like, I really believe that God gives people struggles and trials to overcome them and then to be that hope and help to other people.
And a Safford City Council member is suspending his campaign for Congress.
A Safford City Councilman has suspended his campaign for Congress after suffering a heroin overdose.
His name is Chris Taylor. You may have actually know the name very well. It's been very publicized here in the Arizona media and the Arizona press.
Chris Taylor was running for the Republican nomination to challenge Democrat Tom O'Halloran this November.
And tonight, Chris Taylor says he is seeking treatment for substance abuse.
We first met Chris Taylor in 2017 as we dug in on the opioid problem plaguing the eastern Arizona city of Safford.
In a previous campaign ad, Taylor opened up about his struggles with opioid addiction after two tours in Afghanistan.
Taylor, a veteran who fought off addiction to open his own treatment center, was poised to be the success story for Safford. But he went backwards as old demons resurfaced last week. A relapse that resulted in an overdose. In a statement to suspend his congressional campaign, Taylor was very direct, saying, quote, "I'm not going to hide from this. I'm not ashamed of what happened. I wish to sincerely apologize to the amazing people who have supported me. It's a haunting reminder of a dark past that will always be looking over the shoulder of a bright future."
All right, everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor. I am your host, Chris Taylor, and today it is Wednesday, January 20th, 2021. That's right, Inauguration Day. 45 is out, 46 is in. The President of the United States has just taken the oath of office. He has just given an historic inaugural address that was summed up by unity and respect and rising to the occasion to meet the challenges. History is watching, and what will our children say? How did we meet this moment? It was very refreshing. Again, look, I'm not a Joe Biden sycophant, right? I have never supported a Democrat for president in my entire life. I don't agree with many of his policies. I don't agree with many of his party's platform, but I know Joe Biden to be an honorable, decent human being who has been called for this moment to rise above the partisan tribalism, all of the disgusting rhetoric and disunity and division. He has called for this moment. Everything that he has overcome in his life has given him the proper level of empathy and compassion to understand the moment that we are in, to understand the wide variety and large amount of people that are suffering. He talked about how we can disagree on policies. We can disagree on ideologies. We can disagree on all of these things and we can debate them vigorously. But what unites us as Americans, what the common things that we have in common are our traditional democratic institutions and values, right? And principles, the Constitution. You know, we all want peace and security and prosperity. That's what we can rally behind. And so as Americans, he called on us. He promised that he will always level with us, that we may just to hear him out. Be a bigger person. If you don't like Joe Biden and you didn't vote for him, and you are part of that crowd that says, you know, he's a socialist and all of this nonsense, put it away for just a little bit. Give him the respect of the office. Allow him to prove himself to the country. You know, I'm going to be watching with great vigor, and I will call him out when I think he falls short. I will call him out when he fails, and I will applaud him when he sincerely tries to do what he has promised that he will do, and I will give him my whole soul. That was the word that was the phrase that I kind of framed up his speech by. He talked about what President Lincoln said as he signed the Emancipation Proclamation. He said, Lincoln said that this is, if I will be known for anything, this will be it. And my whole soul is in it. And President Biden in his speech said that unity, that his whole soul is in it. Much like Lincoln said after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed and read, that his whole soul was in it. And I really felt that. It was an emotional, I felt that sincerity, that authenticity from President Biden. And I believe him when he says that his whole soul is in it. This was a different inauguration. There was hardly any crowd at all, and I'm sure the outgoing president was kind of happy about that. President Trump's crowd size was much larger than President Biden's. We can give him that. And of course, that's because of the insurrection. That's because of the pandemic. You know, whatever. I don't want to get into those petty things right now. I really want to call for unity. And man, I really hope that this is not just empty rhetoric on the part of Joseph R. Biden Jr. I don't think it is, but I understand, and he understands. He's clear-eyed. He knows that this is that the moment that we're in is much more complex and difficult than just to say let's come together, right? There's so many things that need to happen. So many hearts need to be softened. He says, open your soul instead of hardening your heart. And there is where we can find the will to come together as an American people. And we need to, in one voice, denounce the hateful, evil, white supremacy and all of that. He named it the domestic terrorism, which the FBI says is a larger threat right now than Islamic terrorism. You know, we need to be clear-eyed and see all of this for what it is. Excuse me, I am solo today as my wife is attending to things. I have my son. Hey, Bubba.
Hi.
What are you doing? Daddy's doing some work, okay? And you have the workout ball. can be in here, but don't bring that in, okay? Yeah, no big ball. It's that big workout yoga ball or whatever it is trying to bring it into this room. All right, so I wanted to just Sissy's at school, Bubba. Here, why don't you go watch your show? Gotta be done in just a minute, okay? I'll be right out. I just wanted to, this is not going to be a full episode. This is just going to be a special bonus episode. I just want to kind of run down some of the more memorable lines and quotes from the inauguration. By the way, those of you may have known, my man bun is gone. My son and I got some fresh haircuts yesterday. I tried to keep the hair growing. I grew it for a year straight, and it just wasn't me. You know, I liked it. My wife liked it. It just wasn't me. This is more my speed. So anyway, it says, okay. So another awesome part of today was the National Youth Poet Laureate, Amanda Gorman. She was amazing. Some of the best lines from her poem that she wrote and recited was, "We will raise this wounded world into a wondrous one. We are far from polished, far from pristine, but that doesn't mean we aren't striving to form a union that is perfect. We are striving to forge our union with purpose, to compose a country committed to all cultures, colors, characters, and conditions of man. And so we lift our gazes not to what stands between us, but what stands before us. We close the divide because we know to put our future first." It was beautiful. It was beautiful. President Joe Biden, some of the best things that he said, the one that stood out to me, of course, was the "My whole soul is in it." But also he said that America will lead not through the example of our power, but by the power of our example. Wow. That was so simple, but so profound, and it hit me so profoundly. So we won't lead by our power, you know, our strength, our you know, American might. We will lead by the power of our example. It was profound, and it hit me very hard. He said, "We must end this uncivil war that pits red against blue, rural versus urban, conservative versus liberal. We can do this if we open our souls instead of hardening our hearts. I give you my word, I will always level with you. I will defend the Constitution. I will defend our democracy. I will defend America. And I promise you, we will be judged, you and I, by how we resolve these cascading crises of our era. We will rise to the occasion. America has been tested, and we've come out stronger for it. We will repair our alliances and engage with the world once again." He goes on to say, "This mob thought they could use violence to silence the will of the people, to stop the work of our democracy, to drive us from the sacred ground. It did not happen. It will never happen. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever." Speaking of Vice President Kamala Harris, he says, "We see the first woman in American history elected to national office. Don't tell me things can't change." Says, "Today, on this January day, my whole soul is in this. Bringing America together, uniting our people, uniting our nation. And I ask every American to join me in this cause. A cry for racial justice, some 400 years in the making, moves us. The dream of justice for all will be deferred no longer." The day after Martin Luther King Day, or 2 days after Martin Luther King Day, that is a line that we all should look to unite us in this cause for real justice and real equality for everybody. The dream Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream should not be deferred any longer. He says, "We'll press forward with speed and urgency, for we have much to do in this winter of peril and significant possibility. This is America's day. This is democracy's day, a day of history and hope, of renewal and resolve. Through a crucible for the ages, America has been tested anew, and America has risen to the challenge." My friends, I would echo President Joseph R. Biden Jr. in saying that my whole soul is in it. My whole soul is in the mission to unite each other. It may only be us 80% that you hear me talk about often. There are about 10%, maybe a little bit more on the right, of people that just will not put aside their hatred, their demonization. And I say that's the extremists on both sides, okay, equally. So it may only be us 80%, but dang it, that is a large majority of Americans that all want the same things, that we can come together and we can strive for a more perfect union. We can disagree and not be disagreeable. We can compete for ideas and political offices and even political power. But we need not see our competitors, our opponents, as our mortal enemies. They are not. They are fellow Americans. They want the same things. They have very different ideas of how to reach those things. But that is why this grand experiment is so sacred. It allows agency. It allows us to choose which path we want to go down. Let's not let the pendulum swing so rapidly. That's how we get demagogues Let's just forge a path in the middle. Let's take ideas from the right that makes sense. Let's take ideas from the left that makes sense. Let's forge them together. Let's find that moderation. Let's find that perfect mix of ingredients. No, we don't have to compromise on our most important values. No, we shouldn't. And what I mean is like the Second Amendment. No, we should not allow our ability to keep and bear arms to be infringed upon. But there are ways that we can make things safer for our children and still have the right to keep and bear arms. There are ways to do this if we have real leaders that will step up, that will not play to the basest factions, that will not play to the hatefulness, but will appeal to our better angels, to use the words of President Lincoln. I know that we can do this. I feel it in all my heart that Joe Biden, President Joseph R. Biden Jr., has been lifted and raised up for this moment. You might not agree with any of his policies, any of his ideologies, any of his beliefs. But if you can't agree with what speech he gave today, and I know that you might say that he was just, it's just words, but I really don't think it is. I know that he wants to unite us. I know that he strives to be a great president, to pull us through these perilous times. If you can't agree with that, and if you can't get on board to say, you know, there are some things that like our foundations of our country, there are some things like the very survival of this democracy that are a little more important right now. When a friend or a family member launches into a diatribe that they heard on a far fringe media outlet that's full of lies and disinformation, call them out and say, look, enough of that right now. You know, let's stop with the spin for a second and let's just call things for what they really are. And let's try to be better people, more compassionate people. When there's calls for racial justice, just shut up and listen. Instead of immediately launching into, well, I'm not racist. When somebody calls out evil, like white supremacy, don't say, well, Black Lives Matter is just as bad. Enough of that kind of sickness. And yes, words matter. Rhetoric matters. Let's rise above this. Let's be better people. Let's give Joseph R. Biden Jr. a fighting chance. Thank you for listening to the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor. We'll be back next week.